415, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
I said to the old man as he sat there on the park bench all alone, with silver hair and wrinkled brown eyes gleaming. He smiled and said, "Just thinking about my home." So I sat down and we shared some laughs together, and the cinema of remembrance, it did roll. We talked about life's gains and yes, its losses, but mostly he just talked about his home. He said, "I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home." I said to the old man, "Where's your home and what's it like?" He said, "Oh, ain't nothing round here can compare. You see, a king had it built and he gave the deed to me. And most of my family's already there." He said, "I'm thinking about home. thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. He said, I'm thinking about home. Thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here. Ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home.
You can't possibly know how good it is to be in my own church on a Sunday morning. Feels good. Feels good. Boy. We got a new tract out for the election period time, if you want to use it. A picture of the two candidates, Who America Needs. Of course, on the inside, it tells them who America needs. And it needs the Lord. It needs the Lord real bad. Real bad. Pastor Fedena was with us 2 weeks ago. He writes, the world tomorrow where no man has gone before. Pastor Freeman and friends at Ray Street Baptist Church, remember to get right for the flight. Thank you so much for the very generous love offer, love gift, and for your attentiveness and services. We tried to help you with the question of why prophecy and spoke on the subject of the rapture with a message on translation or tribulation, rapture or rupture, and solved a biblically who has a right to the Holy Land in a sermon entitled Settling the Palestinian Question. We hope you were blessed and challenged from God's word, holy word, the King James. What? Bible. Amen. All right, well, that's there for you. Thank you folks for all helping out on the love offerings. And I'm going to follow up on what Ralph said. I will say I want to thank you all for the great love offerings we've had for all the preachers all the time. And I will say the regular offering did not suffer. All right. So you guys were really giving out of your hearts. So amen for doing that for all these weeks. I got a message here for you, which came to me while I was in the hospital, and the Lord gave this to me halfway through the night, and I had to wake up and write down some of the thoughts, and it came as I was in the middle of a lot of pain. I don't know. I'm going to tell you there were times I could not understand how much more a person could tolerate as far as the pain level is concerned. Not to say that you've never felt it or anything like that, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't know. I just don't know how, if it would have been stepped up a step more, how do you exist? How do you tolerate with it? And it was going on for 24 hours a day. It just never subsided. And if some of you remember me always telling you, it was in my knee right here and in my hip, if you remember me telling you that. Oh, man, it was just terrible. I will say that now as a result of the radiation treatment, probably it's 90% gone, all right? So I really am happy for that. I have times where I don't feel any pain at all. Sometimes I get into that sweet spot position, and I tell my wife, honey, I'm here, and I'm here to stay for a little while. Because it feels good to not feel any pain. And yesterday I was laying in our bed for the very first time, and I was sleeping on my side, which I haven't been able to do for I don't even know how long ago. It's months. It's got to be at least maybe half a year now, something like that. And I was able to lay there on my side without any pain at all, one of those sweet spots. So just so that you know, your pastor is getting better. But wouldn't you know it, I have a muscle spasm spine, right? Not in my spine, but in my back here. And that's kind of been there all the time. But the other pain was more than that. So, you know, I was just dealing with that pain. But now that that pain went away, this one is kind of sitting there saying, I'm not letting you go yet, you know. And, oh, man, that just hurts. And sometimes during the day, it does go away, and then it comes back. And it just, I don't know really what the Lord's putting me through. You know, getting me ready for some kind of tribulation to go on, or, you know, to suffer somehow more for the Lord. I don't know. But during the night, many times when I was all alone, there were times that it was just me and the Lord. It was just me and the Lord. And I was talking to him and trying to ask him why and all that kind of, you know, all that kind of a thing. And then I'd smack myself around a little bit and say, well, who do you think you are? You know, any better than anybody else or things like that. But one thing I did find out is that during times like that, you have a friend in Jesus. Why is Jesus my dearest friend? You might think that my wife would be my dearest friend, and I would have to say she ranks right up there. Yeah, she's going to have to be number two, I guess, as far as this message is concerned. All right. My dearest friend. You might think she would be my dearest friend, or one of my children, or both my children would be my dearest friend, or my grandchildren. And isn't it a blessing to have my youngest granddaughter in church here this morning? Amen. She's a week and one day old, and here she is paying attention to her grandfather. And Lydia Grace Freeman, what a blessing to have her here. And what a accomplishment that parents would bring her on the very first Sunday they possibly could. And may it be the first of many, if the Lord tarries. If the Lord tarries, I say that. If not, I hope it's not very many. Before we are all caught up to be with him, you might think it might be my granddaughter. Might be my mom and my dad or my family, my best friend. But no, I must say with all my heart, Jesus is my dearest friend. And I would like him to be your dearest friend. Like the songs we sang this morning, some of them, and some of the other hymns that we know. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Well, then, why is Jesus my best friend? Here's the thoughts that came to me that night, okay? As I was in there suffering along. Number one, because Jesus, or God, originally made us to be friends with him. I thought about that. I thought, you know, he wants me to be his friend. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to start right there. Genesis 1, verse 26, I mean. Genesis 1. And, you know, it doesn't take long to read in the Bible when you find that that Jesus is desirous to have you as a friend of his. First, Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, and God said, you know, God didn't have to do this. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Down to verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very what?
Good.
Very good. He made us in his own image. And then you go to chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And so he made Eve for him, Adam and Eve. And in chapter 3, verse 1, you see how the devil down there through verse 6 and 7 caused them to fall into sin. They disobeyed God, fell into sin. And that's the big problem in the whole world today. And it's the reason why you and I don't realize that God wants to be friends with us. Even after they fell into sin, he sought them out. God sought them out and he sought me out. I'll have to say that too. Look at verse 8. Here they are, Adam and Eve. They fell into sin. They knew right away that they had sinned. Tried to cover their nakedness. Hey, before that, they had no problem with their nakedness. Now they had big problems with it. Notice verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? There's a God who wants to be your friend. Even though you've sinned against him, and every one of you sitting here this morning have sinned against him. And there was a time when you were at enmity with God. You weren't a friend of God. But I want you to know, even if you're sitting in that situation still and have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior yet, God is still calling for you as well. You could put your name in there. Where art thou? Where are you, Gary? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. Yeah, because I'm a sinner. I was a sinner. And here's the second reason. Because God sought me out, though I sinned against him. Yeah, what is sin? Sin is trespassing the commandment of God. God said to these two, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. And they disobeyed his commandment. And then later on, God gives 10 commandments to Moses and his people, the nation of Israel. And he tells them the great commandments on that great 10 commandment tablet. And they broke every single one of them. And I would have to say, every one of us would have to sit here today and agree that we've broken them. Even though we may not be required to keep the Sabbath day, that's specifically for Israel. You look at the rest of those laws and you're a sinner. You know that? You look at that, you have to walk away and say, I am naked. I'm naked before you. And trespassing is trespassing, or sin is trespassing the command of God. And why did God give those commandments? I believe it goes right back to this matter of being a friend. He gave those commandments and it was meant to maintain friendship with him and his holiness. And I'm going to tell you something. It took God's own son to come into this world and keep all those commandments and never fail once and then go to the cross and pay for you and I disobeying all those commandments in order that we might be friends with God. Because you see, you have to be holy in order to be in his presence and in fellowship with him. You cannot have any nakedness or sin on you. It has to be washed away somehow. And that's what Jesus Christ does. He cleanses us. Thirdly, why is Jesus my best friend? Because he provided a way of salvation. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Folks, there is the very beginning, and of course, verse 15 also gives us a glimpse of it, of the way in which God would save us from our sins. an innocent sacrifice would have to take our place and clean us and cover us so that we could stand before God holy and clean. The only way God could continue to have fellowship with Adam and Eve was, I'm going to have to clothe you. You realize your sin before me. And so he took an animal and slew it, just like he took his only begotten son and allowed him to go to that cross and die there for you and for me. That Son of God was referred to as the Lamb of God, who suffered there for you and for me, in order that we might be friends. And then again, another thing. Why is Jesus my best friend? Because Jesus convicted me of my need to be saved in order to be friends with him by his Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, in verses 7 through 13, he talks about how the Holy Spirit would come and he would convict us of sin and righteousness and holiness. And then another reason, because Jesus did all the work to provide for my salvation and offers it to me by faith through grace. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, very well-known passage of Scripture. And I will tell you, as I laid there in bed, rejoicing over the salvation I had to say, you know, the only reason I'm a friend with the Lord Jesus Christ is because he did everything for me. He took care of it all. And there I am suffering in bed there and having pain and feeling sorry for myself and everything. And I had to just say, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Unworthy I am. And I know the reason why I have these pains in my body, as all of us have pains. And by the way, you're all going to get sick and die one of these days, okay? And the reason is because of our sin. And it happened way back there in Genesis. And even Christians get sick. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I could only lay in bed there thanking God that salvation was not something I had to do. Romans 11, verse 6. Oh, you know what? I don't know why people can't figure this out. How can works possibly save you? They cannot save you. You're either saved by the grace of God or you're saved by something else, but there is nothing else that can save you. Look at this, Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. In other words, don't tell me how good you've been and how you've been going to church. And I'm not that bad. I'm as good as the next guy next to me here. Hey, if works could get you in, then don't sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm amazed how many people sing that song today and they don't have the foggiest idea of what it means to be saved by grace. Look at the rest of the verse. Hey, if you don't have a King James Bible, guess what? The rest of the verse is missing. How about that? The rest of the verse is missing. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. You know, work doesn't make sense if you're going to call it grace at the same time. You can't call them both the same thing. Amen. Yep. You're either saved by grace or you're saved by works. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. Undeserved favor from God is what saves you. And there is another reason why Jesus is my best friend. Because Jesus reveals the Godhead to us and came and walked right among us to show us the way. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am so glad that Jesus came and walked among us. I know I wasn't there when he was here, but I have the scriptures for the whole account of it right here, telling me all about what he did when he was here and how he healed people and so forth. All of that was to show who he was, to reveal his Godhead to us, so that I can have complete assurance in 2016 here that I've put my trust in someone, yeah, who lived here long ago, but I've put my trust in someone who is God come in the flesh. And I don't have to worry. When he says I'm saved, I'm saved. When he says you're my friend, I'm his friend. And when he says, I'll be with you forever, then I know he will do that. Another reason why, because Jesus wants us to have life abundant while here in hope of eternal life in the hereafter. I don't know about you, but being saved is the best thing that can ever happen to a person. I'm happy in Jesus today. I don't know about you. I'm happy because I know I'm going to heaven. And I can remember some of you coming into my room and I would make you all start singing. yeah, you know why? Because we have a song in our heart. We have joy in our heart. You're all looking at me when I'm in there and you're feeling bad for me and wishing I would get better and everything else. And I say, let's sing. Let's praise the Lord, even for the problems that we have. And here's another reason why Jesus is my very best friend, because Jesus has given us his word and the Holy Spirit in his absence to help us through this life. You know, Spurgeon said this, "Never fear dying, beloved. Dying is the last, but the least matter that a Christian has to be anxious about. Fear living." Fear having to live, okay? "That is a hard battle to fight, a stern discipline to endure, a rough voyage to undergo." Everybody, well, I don't know about dying, and I'm afraid of dying. You know what? That's the least of your worries. It's, how am I going to live for the Lord tomorrow? Well, I'm going to live for him because Jesus is with me. And that's the other reason why. And Jason, would you come get ready? Would you come get ready? I'm going to sing because Jesus is with me through life and has also seated me in the heavenlies even now. As far as God is concerned and Jesus is concerned, do you know that I'm already in heaven? I'm already there. That's been sealed. And I have scripture for it. Hebrews 13:5, Ephesians 2, 5, and 6, Romans 8, 20 through verse 30. Talks about he who is predestinated is also justified and sanctified and glorified. Glorified. I'm already in heaven. My seat is there. So I'm just waiting for that time. In the meantime, he has said, I'll be with you and I'll go with you. Don't worry. I'm going to sing a song for you. Hope I can sing it. Hope I can get through it. The song's called My Dearest Friend. There are some days when I feel so weary. Often it seems the trials never end. In those times I fall on my knees in prayer, 'cause there I find strength from my Savior and King. When I just cannot seem to go on, he promised me even there he'll be beside me all the way. When I think of Elijah and Jeremiah, who sought for the Lord when they were all alone. In those times they turned to the Lord in prayer, and then they found strength from their Savior and King. When I just cannot seem to go on, He promised me, even there He'll be beside me all the way. And I think that I am all alone. He'll walk beside me, and He'll be my dearest friend. If you are weary and feel so lonely, and if it seems your trials never end, now is the time to fall on your knees in prayer, and there you'll find strength from your Savior and King. When I just cannot seem to go on, He promised me, even there He'll be beside me all the way. When I think that I am all alone, He'll walk beside me, and He'll be my dearest friend. He'll walk beside me, and He'll be my dearest friend. I just had to keep looking above you guys, above your heads, not look at you. Another reason why Jesus is my dearest friend is because Jesus intercedes for me now to secure me to Himself forever up there in heaven. And I have a verse for that, 1 John 2:1-2. He's my advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Another reason, one of the best ones, because He is coming again for me. My friend's coming again for me. He's coming for me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I go prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Don't be ignorant of this, brethren. I'm coming back. Trumpet's going to sound. And we're all going to go up and meet the Lord in the air. And it could happen at any time. Another reason why Jesus is my dearest friend is because I will dwell with Jesus forever in the new heaven and the new earth. Go to Revelation chapter 21, and this is it. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I'm telling you what, that's pointing its finger right at the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be with men. He's going to be with them. Just like that Old Testament tabernacle out there in the wilderness. That's a picture of Jesus. We find in the new heaven and new earth, Jesus will be that tabernacle with us, and they shall be His people. See, it personifies tabernacle by saying His, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm glad John wrote it. So glad he wrote it down. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Boy, how about that? Folks, you know what? What we believe in is all done. It's all done. He isn't going to change his mind about any part of it. He isn't going to say, you know what, I messed up there. I need to change that. No, no. He didn't mess up anywhere. I'll tell you who messed up. You know who messed up, don't you? We messed up. But he's going to bring to pass his desires. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Him that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And if you're here today and don't know the Lord, verse 8, it's got to scare you half to death. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and you might say, well, I'm good, I'm not any of those. How about this one? And all liars. You find yourself there yet? If you're lost, it says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You need to be saved if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to tell you, to make Jesus your friend, you need to be born again, saved. You need to become a child of God. Right now you're a child of the devil until you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're saved, my desire, my pastoral desire for you, people of Ray Street Baptist Church, until the rapture takes place or the Lord takes me home to be with him, my desire is for you to make Jesus your friend, beloved forever in this life and the life to come. Boy, I hope you would do that. Make Jesus your friend. That's the best thing you can ever do. That's the best thing that kept me going through all those times in the hospital. It was great when you guys came. It was not so nice when you guys left. And then my wife would give me a kiss goodnight. You know, I spent more nights in the hospital than I did in our new house. Until just last week, I think we finally went over the number of times I was at my new house as opposed to a hospital. I want to thank you all for all your cards. Some of you really went out of your way to do the cards and write nice messages and everything. That means a lot, and it meant a lot to me. And those of you who came to see me, it was a wonderful thing. I'm glad I'm out of the hospital. I don't know how many more years I'll have with this cancer, the way it's working. But, wow, something that they did on that radiation was really awesome. Because prior to that, I had pain right here and here. And then they went in there and somehow, with the very focused radiation beams, were able to hit that cancer. I don't know how, but I thank God for physicians like Luke in the Bible and the ones we've got today who can do some marvelous things. But I'm still going to give all the credit to the Lord up there in heaven to guide them to know what to do. And what the future holds, I do not know. But we will continue down the pathway. And I thank you for staying with us and staying with me. And may God bless you. I wonder, is there anyone here today? I'll give you just a few moments if you want to say anything. If you want to raise your hand and say anything, I think we'll give opportunity for that. But I want to thank Gene and Jeannie Gertner for giving me that song I sang to you today. That's why I went like this to them when I sang, because it's from their CD. They gave me a CD while I was in the hospital, and I'm going to tell you what, it carried me through. That song carried me through, along with a few others that were on there. One was, He is Risen. I'm glad my Savior rose up from the grave. He's alive. My Savior, who I trust in, you all do too, I hope and pray. He's alive. And he's coming again for me. Does anybody have anything to say? I would like to say anything. I'm not going to hang long on this. Anybody? Okay, we won't go any further on that. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Dear God in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being friend. Oh, that you would even want to be friends with us is awesome to think about. What sinners we are. Oh, what undeserving people we are in your sight without Christ. But the moment we put our faith and trust in Christ, we enter into a relationship with you that is unspeakable and full of glory. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That I am in the Beloved and the Beloved is in me. And I am His and He is mine. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've already brought you up here into heaven and seated you in the heavenlies. But here I sit, but I'm seated there. It's amazing. Thank you for this wonderful salvation we have in Christ. Now, yes. Keep us safe as we go our way, Lord, and help us as a church to keep on keeping on. Yes. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Yes.